welcome to the All Things Overlanding podcast. My name is Fletch, and I'll be your host. Are you ready for some great overlanding content? Then let's get into it. Hey everybody, Fletch from All Things Overlanding here. On this episode of the podcast slash vlog, I am very excited because I have got a couple of folks who have been doing an overland trip for the last 10 months, and they have kids with them. So let's all think about them and have our thoughts go out to them, because I could not do it. I mean, I would definitely kill myself. So, and I love my kids, but oh my God, we went to Canada one time. It was a 12-hour trip. I talk about it a little bit in this video. I could not do it. There's no way. But kudos to them. They are doing God's work and it's amazing. So great work to them. But so we're going to dive into it. It's Nate and Carrie from Our Journey Overland, and they have a bunch of stuff on Instagram. They're starting to work on a YouTube channel. So there's some really cool stuff in this interview, and I really enjoyed it. Before we dive into that too much, though, I did want to give a quick shout out to my sponsors. And by sponsors, I mean friends, really. Like, I'm different from a lot of those other overlanding channels that you've probably seen, where I kind of try to tell it like it is, and I'm more of a normal Joe. I've got a 9-to-5. Like, I try to take trips as much as I can, but it's not like I'm, like, being paid thousands of dollars and I just do this thing. Like, I've been doing this for, like, about a year now, not quite a year now, and I really do it just for fun. And I want to help you guys out, and I want to, you know, share some of my knowledge with you guys, and I want to learn from you guys, too, because I really haven't been doing it that long. So I've teamed up with four different companies now, basically. And again, most of them are just like small fries like myself that just want to kind of get their names out there. And I said, look, I like you guys. I want to work with you. So I just want to really quickly name those guys. And I want to point out, go down to the description below. There'll be links to all of their pages. It's amazing if you could go support these guys, because they really are doing cool stuff. So let's just do quick hits here. Last US Bags, awesome overlanding type bags and equipment, things for storing tools and things like that. Awesome company. Check them out below. More Overland Expo. It's coming February 2021, and they do it every year. Awesome Overlanding Expo. One of the few that are in the Midwest. It's doubling in size this year over last year, which was their first year, so check them out as well. And then Northology Overland, Cindy Pope. I've done interviews with her before. She's a fantastic human. She has some really cool events that she does, and she has a digital magazine for overlanding that's totally free. And then last but not least, I'm super excited about this. One of my new sponsors who I've become internet friends with. So thank you, Chad, for being my internet friend. And I can't wait to meet you in person. But Overland Addict from Chad Boyd. Great, great guy. Awesome overlanding videos himself. He has his own YouTube channel and he sells all kinds of overlanding gear. I've actually bought a bunch of stuff from him and I highly recommend him. He's super professional, super quick, and he has great gear and great deals. So definitely check him out as well down in the description. But without further ado, let's dive into the interview. All right, so hey everybody, as I mentioned on the intro, today we're with Our Journey Overland, Nate and Carrie. They're gonna tell us a little bit about themselves and then we're gonna kind of dive into the interviews. So go nuts, guys.
All right, well, nice to meet you. If you wanna tell us who we are.
Yeah, I'm Carrie.
I'm Nate.
We have two kids, Kyler and Drew. Kyler is 8 and Drew is 5.
Wow.
They're locked in the back right now.
They're in the back watching a show while we do this.
Nice, I wondered.
So we've been on the road for 10 months and traveling around with our two kids, checking out as much of America, and we did Baja as well. And we were going to do some more stuff down south, but it didn't turn out that way with the whole COVID thing.
Yeah, I bet that put a damper on everything, didn't it?
It definitely made us have to be really flexible.
Yeah, we had a change plan, so.
I bet, yeah. I have been really impressed with how you guys are doing this with kids, because I have a 7 and a 10-year-old, and we took a trip. It might have been a couple of years ago, so they might have been like 5 and 8, I guess. But we went to Canada. We went up to Niagara Falls, and so it was like a 12 or 14 hour drive. And I mean, there's no way I could do it for 10 months with them. There's no way. So good for you guys. I'm super impressed.
It's difficult at times, but you know, make it through.
Yeah, and honestly, usually don't have drive days last more than like 4 hours tops.
That's smart. Yeah, that's the way to do it, I think, for sure. Because I had headphones on and I was just like, okay, I have to focus on driving, honey. You have to wrangle that. And that was, it was bad.
That's what happened.
I've done that as well. Yeah, just throw the headphones on and be like, they're killing each other. I recently removed my rearview mirror so I didn't have to look at them killing each other.
That's smart. That's a good, yeah. We have a Pilot that we took on that trip, and it had the little like curved mirror thing so you could specifically see it. And I think I remember like 2 hours in just being like, whoop, and I just closed it. Just closed it. So that's awesome. So let me ask you questions here now. And again, you guys feel free to freestyle. If you guys have something you want to talk about, just interrupt me. It's fine. But I was going to kind of start by asking, you know, what got you into this trip? What got you into overlanding?
So for me, when I was younger, when I was a kid, my family always went camping. So I love being outdoors. I love traveling. And overlanding is kind of the best of both of those worlds.
Yeah.
For me, whenever I was in the eighth grade, my parents bought me a dirt bike. And I would just take off from sunup to sundown. I would just be gone exploring. And that sense of adventure kind of stayed with me whenever I got older. And whenever we got together 21 years ago, we both just had the same sense of adventure. And we both just started exploring as far and as wide as we could.
That's awesome. Yeah. Whereabouts did you guys grow up? Like what part of the country?
Well, I grew up in Oildale. It's just a little outside of Bakersfield, California.
Okay.
And so it was mainly oil fields and things like that I was exploring in the hills around there. So it wasn't like we were exploring the deep woods, but it was still super exciting for a, 12-year-old kid.
Oh, yeah.
And I grew up in Reno, Nevada, and we actually met in Reno.
Yeah, we both live whenever we're back home. We both live in Reno now. I moved up there when I was a teenager.
Very cool. Very cool. So out west, yeah, I haven't had a ton of exposure to out west, but I've been to California a time or two when I was younger, but I really want to get out to like Pacific Northwest and like just all over, right? Colorado, just anything out there. I want to go check out. It's beautiful out there.
Beautiful.
We've spent 6 of the last 10 months exploring the western states, and they've just been, every one of them has been amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's super cool. So you guys started 10 months ago. How do you, like, this is the question I'm sure you get a million times. This is the standard go-to question for folks that do this full time, right? How do you guys afford to do it? Like, what do you do for work?
So we actually, maybe 10 years ago or so, we had planned a big trip and we started saving up for it. And then lo and behold, I got pregnant. And so we put that on hold, postponed it for a bit. And then we had our second child, our daughter, and after she was born, we kind of decided that we really wanted to go on a big family trip and kind of live that dream that we had a decade ago. So we started saving up, and we saved up for 4 years, fixed up, the truck, got the camper, fixed up the trailer. So it's 4 years of sacrifice, not splurging, and just saving for this, 10-month trip.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's fantastic. There's this weird sort of like, and I don't know, I'm going off, I'm just kind of freestyling here, but there's this weird sort of hatred of people that can do this full time for some reason, I feel like. Like, I see that more and more, and I'm kind of like, but something happened, right? Like, it's not like you guys were just independently wealthy and you decided to go camping, right? Like, independently wealthy people don't generally do that. So, like, I'm really impressed, and I hope people that are listening that are haters of full-time overlanders are like, oh yeah, it's not just, they didn't just get sponsored by 70 different companies and they make millions, right, from their YouTube channels.
The first big multi-month trip that we took together was in 2003, and we did a few months in Australia.
Wow.
And we were both working at like Home Depot whenever we saved up for that big trip.
That's awesome.
And the way that we saved up that money is we lived in a travel trailer on a family member's property for a year to save up enough money to be able to do it.
Wow.
So it can be done. It's just, it takes a lot of sacrifice. So the rig that we're actually traveling around in now, my my Tundra and the four-wheel pop-up camper. Mm-hmm. I went to law school and I lived out of this truck and the camper while I was going to law school. I lived in this truck in the parking lot. Wow. So it was cheaper to buy the truck and the camper than it would be for me to pay rent in Sacramento, because there's no law school in Reno. So we actually saved money by buying the vehicle that we ended up taking this trip on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I love that idea. We obviously have a house now and a couple kids and everything, and my wife is not so into it. I don't think that she would be up for full-time travel and like showering out of a vehicle and stuff, but I would totally do it. Like if she would let me leave for like a month or something, I'd go just travel around the US and live in my Xterra, and I think it'd be awesome. So yeah, I'm impressed. I'm jealous.
I think everybody who's into overlanding should give it a shot.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. So you mentioned it. So you guys have kids. So I know we talked about this a little bit before, but tell us the age of the kids and kind of what it's like traveling with them.
Exhausting.
I can feel that.
Yeah. So it is exhausting, but it's also very rewarding. So 8 and 5, and we started the trip. Our youngest was 4, and then our son was 7. Wow. So they both had a birthday on the trip. But I will say, you know, there is a benefit to traveling with your kids, especially when they are young. And for us, you know, because we traveled so much before we had kids and explored and, you know, went overlanding in Australia, we kind of wanted something new. And when you see your children and you instill that love of nature in them, and you kind of, things that you looked at and you were in awe of, you kind of get to refill that and revisit that through your kids' eyes. So as exhausting as it is, it's definitely well worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. It's funny because, so like, I'll give you a little example of my kids. So we live in like a suburban neighborhood in Indianapolis area. So like when I grew up though, I lived in Southern Indiana. And so sort of the same as you, Nate, and both of you probably, where like my parents lived in the woods. And so like every day we would get home from school and they're like, I don't want to see you until dinner time. And like you're out in the woods with your friends and you're like finding abandoned cement mixers and quarries and like all kinds of crazy stuff, right? And so then when I got married and we lived in the city, basically, I was like, these kids are going to be the worst kids ever. Like they kind of are still obsessed with their iPads, like all these kids nowadays are.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, it's funny. We did Cub Scouts for a while and I was the den leader. And we took a group of like 8 or 10 kids out camping. And like when the Cub Scouts go camping, it's like in a field at a state park. And then one time I convinced the dads, I was like, let's go to Hoosier National Forest, which is like a big national forest in Indiana. And I was like, let's really go camping, like where you have to get your own firewood and like there's no toilets and that sort of stuff. And we did that. And my kids were just rock stars. They're like cutting down, like pulling dead trees out of the woods. And these other kids are like complaining about the bugs and like asking for their iPads and stuff. So like my kids are, they've been surrounded by coyotes a time or two and they're not scared. And they've even gotten sick in the woods and like, they just tough it out because they're like, well, we're already here. I'm just going to throw up outside and get back in the tent. And then the next day we take them to the doctor.
At least they go outside.
Yeah.
There have been both inside and outside, various experiences. That's awesome. Cool. So do you guys have a preference? So I always ask people about their vehicles. I'm kind of a car guy. Like, do you guys prefer newer or older vehicles? I mean, the Tundra is not super old, right? But do you prefer newer or older vehicles and why?
So for overland travel, and bear in mind, whenever we travel overland, we've been 100 miles down dirt roads away from anybody else, all by ourselves, just the two of us and our kids.
Right.
So whenever you're out in a location like that, you really have to have something that's going to be dependable and trustworthy, and it's going to not break down on you.
Right.
That being said, like I said, we've been overlanding together for 20 years. And out of those 20 years, at least, I'll say it, at the very least, 15 of those years, we were overlanding in a vehicle that was built in the 80s or 70s. Like most of the time, we've been in a vehicle that's been built in the 70s or 80s. Wow. And my one thing that I'm really good at is trailside mechanics. And it's because I started out in a 1973 Chevy four-wheel drive, you know, and nice. Replacing the starter whenever out in the snow in the middle of nowhere, Nevada, and, you know, things like that. So I have a little like spot in my heart that just loves old classic vehicles. I actually love old vehicles. I love them so much. My favorite vehicle that we ever owned was an FJ60. It was by far my favorite vehicle. But the problem is it was gutless. It had a carburetor. So if you were driving it from sea level to 11,000 feet, which we've done like 5 times on this trip, you'd have to re-gut the carburetor and it wouldn't run right at either one of the elevations. So although I love the old vehicles, I think they're fantastic. For full-time overland travel, I really do think you at least need something new enough to have fuel injection.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that. I'm kind of the same way where I like my Xterra because it's an 05, right? So it's by no means new, but you know, it's body on frame still, but it's fuel injection. It's got power steering. It's, you know, automatic transmission is kind of nice. It makes things a little easier, less thinking. So yeah, I'm with you where I'm like in the middle. Like I agree. I don't think you need to go buy like a 2020, you know, 4Runner and spend $100,000 by any means. I think you could buy something that's 10 or 15 years old and it'll work.
Yeah, so our Tundra that we're in now is an 08. And I think a 10-year-old, a little over 10 years old, is about perfect. You scratch it up, you get some pinstriping, the kids spill their drinks in the back or whatever. It doesn't break your heart.
Yeah, yep, that's a good point. Are you a Toyota, are you guys Toyota people? Or are you like a brand loyalist or not?
No, I'm absolutely not a brand loyalist. As soon as any other manufacturer makes a vehicle half as good as Toyota, I'll buy it.
Right. Yeah.
No. That being said, like I said, I most of the vehicles I've owned have been Chevys. I've owned an International Scout, Scout 80 actually, and I've owned several different kinds of vehicles. I've owned a Nissan even. I've owned a Nissan Patrol.
Nice.
We bought that whenever we were in Australia, and it broke down and left us stranded in Rockhampton. But that's a story for another time. So I'm not a brand loyalist per se, but I do really like Toyotas.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at Toyotas when I bought my Xterra, and I'm a Nissan guy, but I was still, I mean, the exact same thing, right? Like if I want something that's going to be reliable for a long time and last for a while, you know, I looked at them, but at the time, so when I looked at mine's an 05 and it had 94,000 miles on it when I bought it 4 years ago. So that would have been like 2016. So it was 11 years old. I stole mine for like $7,000 from a private party. And like, I was looking at 4Runners and they were like 99 through 02 with like 150 to 200,000 miles. And I was like, I just can't justify that expense.
Yeah. Oh, did we lose you?
It's like it froze up.
This part will cut out. Can you hear us? Or can you hear me?
I can hear you now. It just blipped out for a second.
Yeah, I'll cut that part out. This is one of the parts that I will cut. I think we had like big storms through here recently, and like we've been had Wi-Fi problems. So like it just like will randomly cut and say Wi-Fi's down for like 10 seconds, and then it's back. Who knows? Who knows? All right, so where are we at? We're talking about that stuff. I think I just stopped talking about the Toyota and Nissan thing. So do you want to jump back in with where you were?
I love Nissans. I really do. Whenever I went over to Australia, I was going to buy a Toyota Land Cruiser. And then after we were shopping around for a little bit, the price of the Toyotas versus the price of a Nissan was ridiculous. You just can't, you almost can't justify the price of a Toyota over a Nissan. So that's why we ended up going with the Nissan there because we were on a very tight budget.
Yeah, I think we got it for like $1,700.
Yeah.
So we were there. That's what we used.
Yeah. So that's what we were overland on, $1,700 vehicle. But if I were to tell somebody what vehicle to pick right now, especially in Nevada where we have a very steep Toyota tax, I would probably tell somebody to go with a Nissan because they do make a really good vehicle.
I looked at Toyotas, and again, that price is so high, and Honda doesn't have anything that's comparable to like an Xterra or a 4Runner or a, you know, any of the trucks or anything like that.
I had to go with the full-size rig for all the stuff that we're dragging around with us. And we couldn't go with diesel because we were planning on going down to Central and South America. And it's not really an option for ultra low sulfur diesel. So that means I would have to buy an older diesel. And I was just better off going with the gas. So that's one of the reasons why we end up going with the Tundra.
Interesting. Yeah, that's good thinking. See, that's one of those things I don't think a lot of people think about until it's too late.
Yeah, we ended up planning a whole bunch for this trip, and then we had to replan and then replan again. So
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. So since you're doing this full time, like all the time, so I definitely have my own preferences as far as like I'm more of like a cold weather camper than a hot weather camper. But since you guys are doing this full time, you don't really have an option, but do you have a preference? Like what time of year is best for you or that you prefer the most?
So I think one of the benefits of traveling for a longer period of time is you can kind of chase the weather. So for us, perfect weather between 65 and 75, that's where I think we kind of like it. And it, you know, once it starts getting cold, as we headed down to Baja, you know, once it starts getting hot again, we start heading north. So we try to keep it a little cooler because don't like the heat. And, you know, once it gets too hot, if we're not near a body of water, then we're not happy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm exactly the same way.
So we generally don't like midsummer camping because that's whenever everybody's out and the mosquitoes are out really bad. And it's just super crowded, so we try to avoid going out midsummer. But in Nevada / Northern California, because I mean we're right on the border, we're almost like where we camp out at is about 6,000-7,000 feet, and there's like 20 feet of snow, so we can't really camp out whenever there's that much snow. And on this trip earlier, we camped out in the middle of nowhere, Nevada, and it got down to like -10 degrees. My water tanks froze, my water lines froze, the faucet froze, and everything froze and broke. So that was a really big pain to have that. So yeah, we're kind of like we're like fair weather campers.
Right. You know, that makes sense. I go a ton in the winter, but like for 2 or 3 days at a time, right? So we had a time where like we were going to have eggs for breakfast and we opened up our cooler, which we didn't have ice in, right? We just had it closed to keep things warm and the eggs were ice balls. So we couldn't eat our eggs and it was inconvenient, but we didn't live out there, right? Like that was just like, oh, I guess we'll have Lunchables instead of eggs for breakfast, you know, like we'll just eat something else. But it wasn't like life or death or like you can't shower because the weather's too cold or, you know, whatever. So that is interesting. It's a good point.
No, we've been out where we're like setting bottles of water in the engine to thaw so we could have something to drink.
Jeez.
Like, that's not fun.
No, it's not fun.
Yeah, that's survival right there. So do you think that the Tundra is probably the best or your favorite four-wheel drive that you've ever owned, or do you have another vehicle that you like better?
No, I love this Tundra. It's been a great vehicle, but it's definitely not the best. It's a little bit heavy. I do like to have a solid front axle, although I don't think it's necessary for anything that you're going to do for overlanding. And it just doesn't have the same soul as like an FJ60, you know, it just, so, but for what we're doing, it's for planning on going down to South America and everything like that. I really do think that it's probably one of the best vehicles. If I had to do it all over again, and I wasn't going to head down to Central America and South America, then I might have gone with an American 3/4 ton diesel. And that's just because the GVWR is so much higher. And I'm honestly a little overloaded here.
Yeah, I bet, because you have to carry everything. So that's pretty difficult. Is the truck modified at all, or is it pretty much stock?
So for my mods, I'll just start with the front and work my way back. So I have a big gnarly bumper on there that I bought off Craigslist for $1,000. And I just needed a bumper I could throw a winch in, and it's the only bumper that I found used, so that's what I got.
Nice.
So I have an 11,000 pound super winch in the front, and I have some cheap eBay lights in there, some random aux beam lights in the front, and another company called Extreme LED lights. I have those in my ditch lights, and they're actually really good. Extreme LED makes a good light.
Nice.
And then for my suspension, I did Bilstein 6112s in the front, which are a fantastic shock. And I did the Bilstein remote reservoirs in the rear.
Cool.
I honestly think that's where like overlanders really honestly overspend. Like you don't need a full-blown racing suspension to go drive down some rugged dirt roads, honestly.
Right, yeah.
Built scenes or old man emus are fantastic.
Yeah.
Let me see, what else did I have to do? So to take the extra weight of the camper, I got a set of custom springs on there. I went with Alcans. They make a good spring.
Nice, yeah.
And then I did airbags on cradles so that I wouldn't lose any suspension drop.
Okay.
Normally airbags are bolted to the frame and to the spring. So mine just on the spring, they sit in a cradle so it can just completely drop. I don't have to worry about ripping my airbags in half.
Nice.
And just in case I got into a little bit of trouble, I installed a ARB rear locker in there.
Cool.
And I did a Vare Air onboard air kit, which is, I think, it's the first mod I do on any vehicle that I own.
Yeah.
And let me think, is there anything else that I'm missing? StopTech brakes, slotted rotors, front and rear with their brake pads and stainless steel brake lines, and some BFGs. Oh yeah, and this vehicle came stock with the tow package. I upgraded to the tow mirrors, and it had the cold weather package with the upgraded alternator to run everything.
Nice.
I think that might be
cool. Yeah. I think you make a great point there. Like there are a ton of people, especially in the Xterra world, that spent like Xterras are not Jeeps and or Toyotas. Unfortunately, they're just not popular. When I first got my Xterra, I started looking online and I'm like, oh my God, suspension for like, you know, shocks and like full coilovers for the front and like a replacement leaf pack for the rear with shocks. It's like $2,500 to $3,500. And I was like, are you kidding me? So like mine is a total, like used parts, right? Like I found some used coilovers for like $360. I've got like an overleaf helper spring on the rear because I'm still on the OEM leafs and a longer shackle. Like it's literally like the most bastardized, cheapest suspension you can get. And it works fine. I have 2.5 inches of lift. I fit 33s and I go anywhere I want. So
that's all you need.
You're right.
Save money for the traveling.
The more money you see, this is what I don't get. People say that they can never afford to go full-time overlanding, but then they spend $150,000 on their rig. And I'm like, I'm into this thing like 40 grand, like for the camper and everything, you know?
Yeah.
So if you just save your money and not try to overbuild a rig that you don't need all that stuff. Honestly, you don't. Your rig is set up perfect for any overland exploration.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, you're definitely right. And that's a great point for anybody that's listening, like on the podcast. Like if you're hesitant because you think you have to save up for a brand new 4Runner, even a 3 or 4 year old 4Runner, and you got to have the Instagram, you know, famous suspension and bumpers and all that stuff, you definitely don't. You definitely
don't. Yeah. the first rigs that we went out exploring in, like she said, was $1,700, $1,500 old Chevy square bodies. Like nice. Just, I mean, whatever we could... Whatever we could purchase and fit our gear in, that's what we would go overlanding.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. So what's like the coolest thing or obstacle or, you know, I mean, like all of us that like to go off-roading are like, oh, I got up this mountain one time or, you know, whatever. But like, what's the coolest story or example that you can tell or think of that you've like overcome obstacle-wise on this trip?
So I think the coolest thing that we've done overlanding was probably in 2003, Fraser Island in Australia.
Oh, wow.
That was amazing. We took a ferry over, you know, with the Nissan Patrol.
That's cool.
There was hardly anybody on the entire island. You know, we could drive up the beach. We camped out where we wanted on the beach. It was beautiful, you know, ocean views, and nobody was around, you know, 17 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So we recently watched a video with Four Wheel Australia, I think is the name of Four Wheel Australia video. And they did Fraser Island. There was a million people there.
Oh my
God. It was cram packed. Whenever we were there, we went skinny dipping and played naked hacky sack, and we didn't see another person for 2 days.
Like, I'm sure she wanted you to tell that story.
So it was honestly like, it was an amazing experience to be there before this whole thing blew up. But as far as like the obstacles that I've done, I don't mean to sound like I'm all that with off-roading, but for just an example, I've taken like Hell's Revenge in Moab.
Yeah.
And I've done every single obstacle up and down Hell's Revenge without a spotter. Like it's, nice. I've been doing this for 20 years. So I don't really have a really cool obstacle or really cool challenge that I've done that really gets, you know, the blood pumping like it did when I first did it, which when I first did it, I would get my blood pumping over just about anything.
Yeah.
But now it's not really like that. But here recently we were taking a trip out to the middle of nowhere, Nevada again. I mean, like dead set middle of nowhere. We got a late start. It was like literally midnight. I think it was like 12:30. It had been raining for like 4 days straight, just pouring rain.
We had the kids with us in the truck.
Yes, the kids had already fallen asleep while we were driving out there. And we drove down this super, super muddy road. And we were going to a place that we'd been several times. Okay. But we started this one hill climb that I knew it could be tricky. And on the way up the hill climb, I'd made it all the way up this muddy, slick hill. I wasn't even breaking traction. I thought it was just like maybe that hill wasn't somehow muddy. And right as soon as I got to the top, it banked to the left and went around a corner. Well, as soon as it banked to the left, I slid sideways into the ravine.
And we were towing the trailer too.
We were towing a trailer that weighed like 4,000 pounds. The trailer we have behind us right now.
Yeah.
And I fought for a bit to try to make it because I just had to go just right around the little bit of the corner to try to make it up there.
Yeah.
But my tires were completely caked all the way around with just that thick, thick clay mud.
Yeah.
And so at 1 o'clock in the morning, pretty much, we made the decision to back all the way down this long hill, literally a cliff on one side and a straight up and down mountain on one side. And she had to spot me as I backed down. I don't know. How long do you think that was? 500 yards?
I don't know if it was that long.
It felt like it was. It felt like it was like 2 miles when I was backing up at 1 o'clock in the morning. But so we made the decision to just find a flat spot on the road and just sleep on it. And then it had stopped raining at that point, and it was supposed to be dry the next morning. So we just slept on it and then waited until the next morning and checked out the trail, and it had dried out quite a bit, and we were able to make it up the next morning. Nice. But that's like what you need to do sometimes. I know like your ego wants you to flip it and try to make it up, but sometimes you just got to call it and go sleep on it and try it again in the morning.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing too, is I feel like a lot of overlanders are old school off-roaders. Like that's how I got my, I had a Jeep Cherokee and I went with friends with Wranglers and we went to off-road parks for like 3 or 4 years. I had that thing. And then when I bought my Xterra, the first thing I did was lifted it and put big tires on it and did, I'm like, I need this thing to be as capable as possible.
Right.
And then I was like, wait a second. Like that's the wrong attitude. Like I don't want to hit that spot in like a forest or something and be like, yeah, I can make that, and then get stranded in the middle of nowhere with no cell reception, you know, like that's definitely a good point. So yeah, I love that.
You want something that's built well enough to get you down a forest road and to maybe get you out of a gnarly situation that you shouldn't have got yourself into, but not built so well that you're going to be pushing yourself where you shouldn't be.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's the problem with going with other people. See, like, at least you guys get to pick your trail. Like, I went to West Virginia with some buddies, and it was a great time, don't get me wrong, but, like, there were some parts where I'm like, that water looks really deep, and we didn't check it, so I guess I just won't go first, you know, and there were some rock walls that we climbed. There was one point where my brakes were, like, I got a radio call, and they're like, hey, your passenger rear tire and wheel are smoking, and I was like, really? I should probably invest in StopTech brakes, but they're still OEM style. They were just hot, you know, it was fine. I poured some water on them. It was fine. But yeah, you're right.
Whatever, back on the road.
Yeah. Mm. 10 minutes, good to go. It's an Nissan.
It's a Nissan. It's fine.
or a Toyota, you know, either one's fine.
Yeah.
So tell me this, is there any place that you want to go that you haven't been able to go yet? Because you guys have been to a lot of awesome places.
All the places.
Yeah, we kind of want to go everywhere.
Yeah.
We're hoping in a few years we can maybe do the Pan American Highway. Initially, when we started setting up this trip, we were thinking about going to New Zealand. And, you know, our plan changed 40 times until we you know, did what we did, and then mid-trip it changed again because of COVID. So
yeah,
I think we'd really love to go back to Australia. We'd love to go, you know, to Alaska. We were going to try to make it to Alaska this time, but the border's closed. So
yeah,
so we have a lot we want to do in the next few years.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Actually, just yesterday we finished our Continental Divide Trail. So Expedition Overland, they posted an article on what's the journal?
Portal? Expedition Portal?
Overland Journal.
Yeah, okay.
Expedition Portals magazine.
Yeah.
So they posted an article where they did the Continental Divide Trail. And so that's what we've been doing for the past 3 months.
Wow.
We weren't able to take all of it because it was pretty snowed in. Yeah, especially Colorado. A lot of it was still covered in snow. But just yesterday, actually, we just finished the trail, popped over into Canada real briefly on a dirt road, and then turned around and came back. So
you're not supposed to tell people that. Yeah, so, there are signs that said,
No one listens to this. Nobody but you guys.
Yeah, so that's what we just finished yesterday, and there's just so much to see in not just in America, but just in America, there's just like thousands of trails. So I've actually started the Rubicon Trail twice and didn't finish it just because I got tired of people being there. So there's like a million different trails that I want to take up and see just in the United States. So
yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. It's funny that you say that because like I'm literally the exact same way. Like I've been teasing kind of on some of my videos and stuff recently, like, hey guys, I have this great plan. Like I've explored Hoosier National Forest like 20, 30 times now over the last couple of years. I know where pretty much all the spots are. And I want to like do like literally like a walkthrough of the whole national forest. So anybody that wants a reference guide, literally like, here's this campsite, like check it out. Here's some features, here's where it is, here's a location, that kind of a thing. And, but I keep telling people like, that's not happening for like 6-7 months because there's people everywhere. There's people in every site. It's hard to find a spot, but then you go in the winter and it's just quiet and it's beautiful and no one's around and you can pick whatever site you want. So it's tough with all these people. Overlanding is almost too popular now.
Yeah.
Especially right now, since everybody's getting back out.
Yeah.
Overwhelming the parks.
And I mean, I really do like to see more people out there, more people enjoying the great outdoors, especially those people that are taking their kids and their family out there. I really do enjoy seeing them out there. But again, on one hand, I love seeing it. On the other hand, I'm like, man, there sure are a lot of people out today.
It's a catch-22.
Yeah.
So this is a weird question for you guys because you carry everything with you all the time, but like, is there one piece of gear, I guess not that you wouldn't leave home without because you've already left home, but is there one piece of gear that is like your favorite piece, like your onboard air, or is there something that you just love, like your favorite piece of gear?
Okay, well, I can't answer that question because there isn't just one piece of gear that I feel that people shouldn't leave home without. Like I said, we've been doing this for 20 years and there are definitely certain things that I don't leave home without. So for somebody just leaving on their first overland trip, throw a snatch strap and a shovel in the back and you should probably be fine. Like that's what I would say everybody should never leave home without, a snatch strap and a shovel. They'll be fine. Certain things that I really feel are very, very important are onboard air, because if you're going to be off-roading, you should be airing down. And if you're going to air down, you're going to need to air up. And if you're in the middle of nowhere and you get a flat, you're going to be totally, you know, like in a really bad situation that you could get yourself out of like that if you had onboard air and a patch kit. So you need onboard air, a patch kit, a shovel, a snatch strap. I love having a jumper box in case my battery goes dead because I'm irresponsible and I leave my doors open and the kids come in here and they flip switches on and stuff. Yep. So a little portable power box jumper is really good.
We've probably used that jumper box on this trip 40-50 times.
Oh my gosh.
We used it a lot.
Oh my god.
So I would say like if there was like a new overlander who's just like, what do I need? I would just say bring an air compressor. I personally like onboard air. It doesn't take that big of a deal to install it. I do mine myself.
Yep.
And the little jumper box, a shovel, a snatch strap without metal hooks on the end, and a plug kit.
Yeah.
And if you want to get fancy, then, you know, like traction boards are really nice, but you don't need them.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, have you seen those Colby valve stem things?
Colby valve stems. I don't think I have.
Definitely. When we get off the phone, Google them. And I'm not like sponsored by them or anything, but I recently had exactly the situation you're talking about where like I had been on an overlanding trip a couple hours south of here. I had my youngest with me, my 7-year-old. We had gotten out of the woods and hit the highway. And like within like a mile of hitting the highway, I started to feel the truck start to pull and lean, and I started to slow down. And as I did, I lost a tire. And I pulled off the road, and I mean, there's semis going past us and there's nowhere to go. And I mean, I'm in an off-road vehicle, so I put the right tires all the way down off the road, but I was still like that far from, you know, from the highway. And my left driver's side front tire was completely flat and the valve stem was hanging from the side of it, but it was still attached. It was just like, you could see the gap, but it wasn't too bad. So I have a little Vire. Mine's not even onboard air. It's just like an 88P. It's a little one, but it works. And I pushed the valve stem in with my hand, and then I plugged it in, and I aired it up as much as I could, drove a mile down the road, got off the road, changed the tire. So, but the Colby valve stem, I found out about afterwards, if you lose a valve stem, this thing, you pull the valve stem out, and these things are like, they're like metal with these little wing tips on them, and you stick them in through the hole where the valve stem was and twist them until they get tight, and it basically forces a thing out behind it. And they're 20 times stronger than a normal valve stem. And it was like $30 for two of them. So like if I'd had that, I wouldn't have had to risk my life driving down the road, you know, change a tire. I could have literally taken 2 minutes and plugged that thing in and then aired up and been done. So yeah, I didn't even know about them until like 2 months ago, and they're awesome.
I do carry spare valve stems with me, but
nice.
It's one of those things that I luckily have never had to use.
Yeah. That's now that I've used it. So I bought a 2-pack. So now I've got one that I've used and one that I've got as an extra. And I'm just like, okay, if that ever happens again, now I'm prepared.
What for $15. Happening to two tires on one trip, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. That's, I feel good about the one. Yeah. I hope that the one is all I ever need, but you never know. I mean, I wasn't even doing anything aggressive. Like I think I went down a rutted path and it just grabbed the valve stem. Like, Hoosier National Forest does not have any real off-roading. It's like gravel roads and a couple muddy, rutted paths. Yeah. That's it. So I was shocked that I lost a valve stem. So anyways, check them out. They're awesome.
I'll give it a look.
Cool. So yeah, they're pretty neat. I mean, I'm not sponsored, but I was so impressed that I literally made like a video. So if you go to YouTube and look at my channel, there's a thing called Colby Valve Stems. You can see them on there, but I was so impressed with them because I'm like, this is life-saving. Like to not have to drop a tire and use the high lift, which is always terrifying, right? Like it's just, you're waiting for it to kick out and kill you. It was really nice. So, cool. So you guys, you're on Instagram. Do you feel like, and obviously you're doing this full time, so you probably have some time, but like, how do you create your content? Like, do you, because as a content creator, I feel like I'm always kind of like missing out sometimes. Like sometimes I just have to take a break and like say, I'm not going to do any videos or take any pictures this time. I'm just going to hang out with the kids and camp. But do you feel like that ever gets in the way, or how do you guys kind of manage that?
So I don't think we specifically, you know, we'll take photos just to post on Instagram. But being a parent, I think I do that anyway, because I want to get like 5 million pictures of my kids. And the other day our son went off this really big rope swing. And so we're there with the camcorder and the phone and we're, you know, taking pictures, filming, and we had him go do it again because like, we didn't actually watch him. Yeah. We were just filming the whole time. So I think there's a balance when you need to just like set it down and step away and be like, I'm going to enjoy the walk, or, you know, I'm going to watch them and not be taking 500 pictures the whole time.
Right.
But we never set out to create content, honestly, really. Yeah. But we do so much stuff on this trip that like on one day we will go kayaking, horseback riding, ride our motorcycle and go for a hike, you know? Jeez. So it's just like, and go fishing. So it's like, if we just posted one of those things for that day, then our Instagram, you know, like duties to keep our followers up to date, which is like my mom and her mom and that's it. then we'd let them know what's going on. But we honestly, we still have things that we haven't posted from like last week, and it's not because we don't, we still post every single day, but we honestly, every single day we have reception, I should say. Yeah. But we honestly are, before we started this trip, we were the busiest humans on earth.
Yeah.
And everybody always said, are you guys going to slow down whenever you're out there? And we're like, oh, we have to. Absolutely.
Relax.
We're not relaxing. Every new place, we have got to adventure and go on hikes.
You don't want to miss anything while you're there. Yeah. So you're just constantly going.
Mm.
That's awesome. No, yeah. I love that. I love that. Cool. Yeah, I love that idea. So now, like, I started, I don't even know why, like 10-ish months ago, I was just like, I'll like make a reel. I'll try and actually make some videos, right? And I was terrified because I thought, I'm going to get ridiculed, right? Like, I'm just going to, because they weren't good and they still aren't great. But, but like, actually, it's been really interesting to see. And that's part of the problem is that, like, when I started, I was literally like you guys, just doing it to like record cool things that I saw on trips or cool obstacles that I overcame because I was an off-roader that became an overlander and like the kids and stuff. And now it's like become a thing where it's like, oh God, I have to, how am I going to come up with a video for next Tuesday? You know, like, I guess I have to go camping now. And that's why I always ask everybody, because I'm always curious how that works. It's still fun for me. I haven't hit that point where it's not fun yet. And everybody's really cool about it if I don't release a video on a certain day, you know, but I'm just always curious. So that's good that you guys are enjoying your family and not held, you know, by the social medias.
No, not at all. We are, in addition to the Instagram, which we post on regularly, which we actually, I say it was just mine and her mom's, but we just hit 1,000 followers and I'm so stoked about that.
Nice.
But anyways, we do, in addition to that, we have been shooting video, actually quite a bit of video, which isn't easy. It's like 1,000 times harder than I thought that it would be to actually shoot decent video. And my buddy Mike over at All Terrain Family, I'm not sure if you're familiar with his YouTube channel. It's fantastic. Check it out. He's got a great channel. And he said that he'd help us throw some videos together whenever we got back. So we have like 3 terabytes worth of video for the 10 months we've been on the road.
Yeah.
So we should have a little bit to start putting some videos out, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll be good video, but
they won't be.
I can tell you from experience, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. People don't, you know, and I say that semi self-deprecatingly, but like really, that's what I love about YouTube is it's different, right? Like, it's not like you're going to Fox and or CBS or, you know, NBC or whatever and pitching them a show. Like, that's totally different. All you're doing is talking about something that you enjoyed and that you're passionate about, and like people respond to that, and I think it's really cool. I encourage you, get on YouTube and definitely let me know when you do, because I think I found you guys. I'll go subscribe to you, so when you start posting, then I'll be there liking your stuff and like commenting for you, help you out.
We have one video and it was just me like following my kid around with a GoPro. That's all it is. But I was gonna take it down, but it had like 150 people watch it, and I was like, whatever, I'll leave it up.
Yeah.
That was probably 2 years.
Like 2 years. It was like 2 years ago I posted it there. But we've gotten better than that. And we actually, I found out that audio quality is really important off the first couple of videos we shot. So now we have really good audio quality. I think once we get some stuff like put together, I think it should be at least entertaining, because I get stuck about once a week. So
yeah.
That's awesome. Or your battery's dead and you have to recover.
Or my battery's dead, yes. Right. Yeah, unfortunately, we often forget to videotape the fun stuff. Yeah. I'll be like using the winch and we'll be like, wait, did we get the camera out? No, we didn't. All right, great. I'm covered in mud and we just winched out of this hole and we didn't get it on video. All right.
So now it's just you talking about getting out of the hole?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Which isn't exciting at all.
That's like the most watched video that I've ever made was an Xterra walk around where I was sitting here. I called it Xterra walk around, and I did have some B-roll from like other trips that I took, but it was the 30 minutes of me sitting here talking about the modifications to the truck, and it has like 19,000 views. I have no idea.
So All Terrain Family did a walk around of our rig. You should check it out. And it's like 20 minutes of me rambling, and it's got like 20 something thousand views.
That's amazing. See, you guys got to get started. You got to go. Well, that's awesome. Well, awesome. That was pretty much all the questions I have. I mean, do you guys have any other like projects you're working on or anything else, anybody else you want to shout out or anybody, anything like that?
Oh, well, there's a couple of things that I did want to say, because I know that you're a little bit newer to overlanding, and a lot of your viewers are a little bit newer to overlanding. Yep. So, for the viewers who are newer to overlanding, the only piece of advice that I want to shout from the rooftops is for every, and this is why I'm never going to be sponsored, because my one piece of advice is stop buying things. Just stop spending money on stuff and just go out and just have fun. Just go out and explore new areas and have a good time. So I see so many people with really decked out rigs, and then I ask them what they've done, and they're like, oh, I haven't really had time to do anything. And I'm like, the amount of time it's taken to install that, you could have gone out on a really cool adventure, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So that's the one thing that I wish more people would do.
And my advice for new people getting into overlanding, or anybody who's been in overlanding, is to take their daughters out with them. Because that's awesome. I hear a lot of guys, you know, complain sometimes that like their wives or their significant others don't like camping, or they don't like they don't like overlanding. And you know, for most people, I think that when we were younger, that's kind of when we, you know, learn to love being outdoors and camping. Yeah. And these same guys who will complain about wives and girlfriends not, you know, wanting to go with them, you know, in the next sentence they tell me, you know, me and my boys are going to go camping and they're leaving the daughter at home. So it's kind of an endless cycle. So you got to get the daughters out young, you know, them learn how to love the outdoors, and then the next generation will be camping with their husbands.
And
yeah,
that kind of goes into what we're planning to do next. So unfortunately, we're going to have to go back to Reno for a little while here in just a few more weeks. And whenever we do go back, we are hoping to take out some families on some guided overland trip. So just geared more towards, you know, whole families, wife, kids, husbands, everybody out and make it enjoyable. Because I think that a lot of times whenever people are just getting into it, it seems a lot more difficult than it is. And I think that if a lot of people just had somebody show them the ropes, it would take a lot of the stress away and make it a little bit more enjoyable and help encourage people to go out and explore more.
Good family bonding time and all around fun. So
yeah, that's fantastic. Well, yeah, definitely keep in touch and like let me know when that becomes a thing. And if I can share it or, you know, shout it out to people, I'm happy to do that. Cause I think that's awesome. I make it sound like my kids and my wife don't ever want to go. They really do. It's just really, it's the bathroom thing. That's her biggest problem with everything. She doesn't mind the bugs or the smoke or the camping. It's the bathroom thing.
We have a toilet, a cassette toilet in the pop-up camper. So
yeah, it's actually really
nice. That solves that problem.
Yeah.
Well, that's, I'm trying to get her to let me spend a bunch of money on a really nice trailer here. So I'll make her listen to this one.
Right, yes, of course.
And just say stock it full of wine or beer or tea, whatever her favorite thing is, and then she'll go with you.
The whole trailer could be a wine cellar. That would be fine with me. That, if it would get her to go, then that would be fine. No, I'm kidding. She does like to go more than I give her credit for. I'm lucky she hasn't divorced me, to be honest. She will listen to this at some point.
People always ask, they're like, how did you possibly talk your wife into going on a multi-month overland adventure? And they said this on the first one too. How did you possibly talk your girlfriend at the time into going on this multi-month adventure to Australia? You know, what's funny is both trips were her idea.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, she's the one that comes up with the ideas, and then I just make it happen. Yeah. So
Yeah, I love that. I love it. Well, it's been kind of funny to me, because I've found that like actually a decent amount of my audience is female. And every time I see it, like there's a gal, and I forget where she's from, but she has an Xterra. So if you're listening or watching this, hi. But she's like posted on a few, and I'm like, yes, please get in the comments and like tell me what you want to hear about and like what you want to see more of, because I want that. Like, I love that. I don't have any girls myself. I have two boys, so I don't have to deal with dating. Like, from a girl standpoint, I'm okay with that. But I do kind of wish, because I do feel like a lot of my friends that have girls, like they have a closer bond with their dad. And if I like to go camping, to your point, she would go camping with me too. But we are done after two, so that will never happen, unfortunately. But yeah, but friends with girls, I would love to take them on a like a guided journey of the national forests around here or something. So I love that. It's great. Cool. Well, that's pretty much all I had. So yeah, definitely keep in touch, you know, as that stuff comes out. Again, I'm happy to share your stuff out, and I'll make sure to tag your YouTube and your Instagram down here, and let me know if there's anything else you want tagged. But thank you guys for being here. It was awesome. I love talking to you. So thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for having us. It was a blast.
Sure.
All right, everybody. So that was our journey overland. So a special thanks to Nate and Carrie. They were an awesome couple to talk to. They're doing cool stuff that I only wish I could do. So, and by wish I could do, I mean like have the wherewithal to not spend money for a while and save up like they did, which is awesome. So good for them. Good for them taking their kids with them. I had a lot of fun. I hope they had fun too. And I hope you guys had a good time listening to them. So as always, thanks for stopping by. If you don't already, click the subscribe button, click the bell to be notified on YouTube when new videos drop. If you're on the podcast, come over to YouTube and subscribe over there, because most of these videos go up on there too, and I release other videos over there. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, so I'd love to have you guys join the conversation, because that's where most of the talking actually happens. But so come and hang out. Come and join the conversation. But thanks for watching. Thanks for listening if you're on the podcast, and we'll see you guys next time.